Hi, everybody. Chuck Bonnewell along with Julie Hayden, our first Monday show. Thanks to the good folks at BBS. We'll now be on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 3 to 4. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, it's going to be 3 to 4 Mountain Time. You can always go to bbsradio.com/Chuck and Julie. Also, we have our website up and running. Get this, chuckandjulie.com. So just go to chuckandjulie.com. There's also a link there, and we're live streaming on Facebook. So a million ways to get hold of us when this is all done. We post it on YouTube. And as our son Rev always says, please like and subscribe. I'm not even really clear what that means, but please just do that.
Just,
yeah.
Just
okay. As always, a ton of, we got Ben Nicholas from Adams County, Republican fighting guy, grassroots activist, coming up here in about 10 minutes. But in the meantime, I mean, we talked about where did we even want to start. We had the whole show planned, and then we heard about Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, very sad. Advanced throat cancer. There's no replacing Rush. I hope it's still something that can be cured. You never know. But that's very sad news.
Yeah, what he said apparently on his show today, I didn't hear it, but was that he was diagnosed just last month. He is going to be having to take some days off because of treatment, but hopes to be there as often as possible. And right now felt like he was doing pretty well. So,
Good.
I mean, I think, as you said, you can't replace Rush Limbaugh, right?
No. But not very many people are irreplaceable. He's one of them.
Right, that's right. Okay, other stuff to talk about.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Super Bowl.
Wait, before you get into your rant, we'll tell other folks that we're going to talk about you because just got a rant, okay? Mm-hmm. And now those of you who listened to us before know what that means. Iowa caucuses today. What a nightmare. Right, you know, we think that sometimes the Republican caucus system is crazy. In Iowa, they've had CNN, go figure, has had to cancel their poll. Talk about conspiracy theories. Then the impeachment, at least the closing arguments wrapped up today. That's going on. But now to the Super Bowl.
All right. Great game. Exciting.
I was for Kansas City.
she changes to whoever's ahead at the time when they're 10 points behind you. And
I like Kyle Shanahan.
You know, I was kind of vaguely for San Francisco till the end of the first half where they just kind of blew a minute 56, only threw it downfield with like 12 seconds to go, and they didn't get the call they wanted. It would have missed out on the field goal. Obviously, the coach, Kyle, has no trust in Garoppolo as a quarterback or the offensive team or the defense because he's afraid they will get the ball back and march down the field. So I thought that was pretty bad. He also poor in the fourth quarter. He'd done that before when he was the offensive coordinator for Atlanta. New England made a huge comeback on him. With no offense, so not a happy day for him, but a very good Super Bowl, a lot of fun
for Patrick Mahomes, especially.
Well, he had a good game, not a great game. He threw a couple interceptions, but he's the team. We were talking about after the game, who would we have as MVP, and we said, well, it has to be Patrick Mahomes, even though he didn't have his best day. He was a winning quarterback, and there was no one really else that stood out compared to him. So, you know, congratulations. Great job.
But I think that the football players was what we're saying is they did their job, right?
The football players
did their job. But I think a lot of talk today, that's what we wanted to talk about, was the halftime show. Also, what's up with Jay-Z? And wait, before I even get to that, I want to let you guys know you can call in as well. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. So first of all, I saw Jay-Z is married to Beyonce, big names, obviously.
Big.
I mean, they're in TMZ, they're in People Magazine and stuff like that. Well, they're celebrities, right? Rich celebrities. Jay-Z apparently has a contract where he's going to provide the talent for some of the NFL stuff, right?
And he's being attacked by Black Lives Matter for selling out.
Right, and he's saying, I'm not selling out, I'm making money. No. But anyway, so in the national anthem, here's a guy who's company is the organization that's setting up the talent who's going to sing the national anthem, who's going to sing God Bless America, who's going to do the halftime show, and he and his wife and their kid sat.
Blue
ice, I think. It's not ice. Whatever. Anyway, anyway, she should have stood. I mean, they sat during the national anthem.
Well, of course they did.
And
NFL tried to wrap themselves around the flag, notwithstanding the disgraceful conduct. You know, flyovers, every military thing in the world, except the person they did a quote-unquote partnership with can't even stand up for the talent he brought
to
the one.
I just got to say, I don't understand that, right? I don't understand how only in America, right, could those people, anybody like them, right? I mean, some people are born rich, they have a silver spoon, that's one thing. Other people are not, and they make it big in this country, they do great things in this country, and they have zero appreciation, it seems to me, for what got them there in the first place. And so that just was a disaster. But above and beyond that, the halftime show. Now, I know I started watching it, and Chuck's gonna, and at first I was like, well, this is very energetic. And then I was, because I was cooking dinner, right? And that sucks at our house. No, I don't mind cooking dinner. But it was cooking dinner, and I was kind of watching, and I'm like, is that a stripper pole? I'm like, why is J-Lo, who's 50, on a stripper pole?
Well, because that's the only thing left in American culture that women, they can imitate male football players, which was one of the early ads that, women,
yeah, you can be a male,
be a football coach or football player, although there are not going to be a lot of positions for you out there. Or you can be a stripper. And that's really, you know, the yin and the yang of female entitlement these days. It was just amazing. But thank God for Jeb Bush. We always say that. Anytime the Clintons or the Bushes say anything these days, it's truly cringeworthy. But he tweeted out, best Super Bowl halftime ever.
There are probably a bazillion other guys out there going, that was a great Super Bowl. If you didn't see the halftime show, I mean, it's all over social media now. So J-Lo and Shakira, I always get her name wrong. And plus, I couldn't even tell them apart really during the thing.
Similar,
they looked very similar. Very energetic, sang these songs, but they were dressed. I read one tweet that said they eliminated the whole possibility of a wardrobe costume malfunction by eliminating most of the costumes, right? So they were very scantily clad.
And who cares? But the one person commented in to good old Jebber, not for most women. The Super Bowl 2020 show was tacky, tasteless, and degrading. And I think that's all. Yeah, I have nothing against strip clubs. I've been to a strip club, you know, but is that the highest of our cultural attainment? You know, this is supposed to somewhat reflect American tastes and values, and I guess it does.
Well, you know,
but it's just, as somebody else want, yeah, that's right. A stripper pole for teaching our daughters to grab their crotches and spread their legs. I mean, it's just demeaning for women.
Well,
I mean, it's objectifying and demeaning. It was energetic, and you got to give credit to the two performers. They certainly came across like 20-year-old strippers, and that's not easy when you're in middle age. But is that what you're trying to do? Is that the highest and best you can do? And Jeb Bush, of course, it is. I mean, for him, oh my God,
this is just like a strip club.
This could be any better than this? Wow.
Maybe Robert Kraft was there. No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, Robert Kraft was getting a massage up in the private suites.
We didn't say that. Well, here's the thing.
I don't know, we'll be thrown off the air again.
I know. We can't. It's our show.
Oh,
here's the thing that I would say about that, too. One other point, and that is, okay, so J-Lo is 50, Shakira is 43, okay? And I speak with some degree of knowledge because I'm going to be 62, right? And
I just had my 45th birthday.
Yeah, Chuck turned 38 this month.
Had that for quite a while.
And, you know, that can be a tough thing for women. Here's what I'm going to say. There is something, I'm sorry, but there is something pathetic about a 50-year-old and a 43-year-old trying to look like 19-year-old strippers, right? Why can't they have some...
Why can't they look like 25-year-old strippers?
Right, you know.
I mean, you know, come on.
I mean, give it
a little class.
But I mean, as a woman, don't even go, forget the objectification and all of that issue. But I'm like, why not say to a woman and send the message to a woman, hey, you can be attractive, you can be sexy, you can be hot at 50, and you don't have to try to pretend you're a 19-year-old stripper to do so. Because, you know what, I have a daughter, and she's beautiful, right? She's 34. But I remember when she turned 17, this is maybe too much information, but she had this pair of plaid pants and I could fit into them, right? But the way I looked in her plaid pants, and the way she looked, it was like we were not even the same species. Do you know what I mean? It was like at a certain age, women should not wear plaid pants across their fanny. After a certain age, women, I don't care how great a shape you're in, should not pretend to be a stripper. And I'm just saying, why not for all of us out there who are over 35, why not go ahead and say, hey, here's how you can have a little
because
class.
There
you
is
can
no
ace
example
gracefully.
Of a 35-year-old singer with class. And that's gone.
Celine Dion.
I mean, yeah.
I like her. Anyway, we're going to talk
about... But here's the other part that somebody else wrote in. Yeah, kids in cages while singing Born in the USA draped in a Puerto Rican flag. Yeah, Jeb. Best show ever. And how much... And somebody else wrote in, huh, I wonder why you... you're not president. It's just amazing with your good taste and your discernment. You ought to be president, you know. You could have been down to the Super Bowl.
He could have brought them to the Kennedy Center.
Kennedy Center. Well, he could have down on stage and ogled at him, I guess. I mean, you know, that would have been perfect. And, of course, Marco Rubio also thought it was great. I mean, do Republicans ever stop embarrassing themselves? I mean, I must admit, you know, we're saved by the fact that Hillary is always tweeting. I'm surprised she didn't send something out saying, I could have done better than that.
You should see me dancing now. Hey, so that we can talk about that and get your cause on that. Again, impeachment, the Iowa caucuses. That's kind of interesting, right? But wanted to bring on one of our favorite persons, Fighting Ben Nicholas from the Adams County Republican Party. Hey, Ben, good afternoon. Well, I guess it's afternoon now. If people are listening later, it's not. But anyway, Ben, thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about today, and then we can get into sort of the broader state of the Colorado Republican Party, and that is the caucuses here. In my opinion, the Colorado Republican Party stupidly, foolishly agreed to open primary. So in Colorado, you don't have to be registered to vote in the primary. You're just going to get a mail ballot and you can do that. But I'd like you to talk about the caucuses because you do have to be registered to participate in the caucuses. And in my opinion, that is so important because that's where everything starts, is at the grassroots, very grassroots, precinct level.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. That is one of the reasons that when I spoke to Chuck this morning, he was asking about the a new organization that I kind of got involved with here. It's really led by Peg Cage, and the purpose of that is to get people informed and get them motivated to go to their caucus. It is the grassroots. It's where your voice is heard. It's my opinion that in our party, there's certain people at the leadership level that is trying to kill the caucus. As you know, just a couple of years ago, I was one of those people kind of leading a charge against having an open primary because I don't think it really serves the purpose of allowing the true Republican Party members to select their own candidate. So that's the reason I was against that. I just felt it was unfair. So the other thing is that I'm just noticing you're not in your kitchen anymore.
No, we're up here.
We go around every room of the house. We try the kitchen, we try the library. Now we're trying what we call the wedding hall because we have pictures of us getting married in Pisa and a reading room. So we'll get to the bathroom anytime now, but we're going to try everywhere out.
I digress there for a moment.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
Good point.
It's this visual thing that I'm seeing right now. So
right.
That's the purpose of that organization is to get people out and go to caucus. If you do, then you'll have the ability to voice your opinion as to who it is that you can select to become a PCP member. That's a precinct committee person, which will have voting rights and selecting your leadership. It's critical that you get out there because let me tell you, the other side, this group that I'm talking about, they're mustering their troops right now. They're going to go to caucus. They're going to select their people that are willing to allow only a very few people at the very top to make these selections and direct this party. And it's my opinion that we have now, I think, well, I just turned 70. And so in my lifetime.
Oh, my God, 70?
No one here is
70. Holy Christ. That's unbelievable. I didn't know people still lived that long anymore.
Yeah, I believe that maybe I'm just one of the few. But
yeah, you're the only one I know. I mean, I'll reach that number in a couple decades, but right. No problem.
So
I had my own birthday.
The point is that in my lifetime, we've had 3 elected Republican governors. Yeah. In our state, just 3 out of, I think, 18 or 17 contests now, we have won 3. That's not a record when you think about how this state party is being led. I think it's just being misled. So that's the purpose of this new organization. And I'm glad I'm part of it. I'm proud to be part of Peg Cage's group.
She's great. She used to be chairman for Boulder.
She did, yeah.
She did a great job.
And that's, once more, that's mycoloradogop.org, right?
I believe that's right. Let me see here.
I think it is. Well, and let me ask you this, because, you know, you think about the establishment Republicans would try to tell us, oh, caucuses are boring, they're dinosaur, old age. And yet you look at what's going on in Iowa, you know, and how important the caucuses are there. Because in my opinion, by Colorado joining the Super Tuesday thing, we made ourselves insignificant. You know, I mean, Trump says, oh, yeah, I'll come to Colorado, but he hasn't had a date yet. But talk a little bit about the shenanigans and what's going on in Iowa, and just because I think it's a similar thing going on there, right? It seems like somebody somewhere is trying to skew the Democrat primary and the caucus system there.
I don't know if you can see me, but I am bobbing my head there.
Okay, I can't, but okay.
Yeah, so if you think about it, the Democrats make up approximately 20% of the Iowa voters. And you have, you know, you certainly have Bernie Sanders out there trying to gain his minions out there. You know, they're threatening all kinds of warfare if they go to the national committee and he's not the selection.
Right.
I say more power, let them go ahead and burn themselves up. Mm-hmm. They're threatening that making Chicago of 68 look like a cakewalk. So
69.
Okay. Yeah. So again, I'm 70, so my memory fails me a little bit.
No, you're right. In fact, you're right.
So 68. So anyway, the other thing is that you have now Bloomberg coming into this mess.
Yeah.
And Bloomberg is, in my opinion, he's trying to do a hostile takeover of the Democratic Party, as with the socialist group. You know, those people are trying to force themselves onto a Democratic Party that used to be somewhat in the populist camp 50 years ago. I mean, I do remember that, you know, 68 convention, and I remember the people rioting out in the streets of Chicago. And it was the long-haired hippies who now are your instructors in the universities and other power points. But the people that they're riding against were the hard hats. It was the blue-collar workers that are in the street. So they lost that battle. They have lost their party to the socialists. And I think that that's a sad thing. But back to Bloomberg here. He's trying to do this because, you know, he just dropped reportedly between $100 to $200 million of his own personal money and trying
change.
To get. Yeah, it's chump change, right?
Yeah.
So he's trying to buy his way in there, and he's avoiding all the people at the base, you know, the base roots there.
Oh yeah, silly debate, silly campaigning. No, you're absolutely right. Well.
Right. And I think, you know, the only time I was ever in Iowa, I know Julie.
Hey, I was born in Des Moines. Went to school at Iowa State University.
Iowa caucuses. And I can tell you that the Iowa Democrats have always been very left. I mean, you think, well, it's a farming community. It must be, you know, it's not. It's always been pretty far left.
You got to remember, they're only 20%.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that 20% is pretty radical. So unless the establishment can do, you know, they did with Hillary. Bernie lost every coin flip. They had all these ties, and somehow Hillary won every coin flip, and they had another one. And so they rigged it, will they rig it again? Probably.
I think Bernie would win. Yeah, Bernie just didn't understand the rules, and it was the rules that Hillary Clinton put forth. Yeah,
right.
Well, then tails you lose.
And let me bring it back to then and tie it into Colorado, because you see the distrust that's going on in Iowa, right? The major polling company says, oh, we pronounced Pete Buttigieg's name wrong. So we can't release the polls that might have said,
we can't say.
You got to wonder there, but to bring it back to Colorado, and you look at how crazy the reason that the Democrats are trying to cheat is they can't figure out who can win. So they're trying to rig the system, each side, some way to make sure they can win, which means that Donald Trump has a really good chance, and he would have a really good chance, I still submit, in Colorado. I don't buy this nonsense that every unaffiliated voter that comes into Colorado is a Democrat. No, it's just that the Democrats do a better job of identifying their voters.
Better job. They're the only party out there identifying.
Right?
I mean, that's why Trump had to, you know, if you wanted him to come, it would have been 6 months ago. You could identify all these people who were either Democrats or independents, and they were pro-Trump. But, you know, he'll come probably in September once the election's over.
You're exactly right. And that's why it's my opinion that the Democrats, if you read the blueprint, and I know both of you have, then you can see that they started identifying the unaffiliated voter as to which way they leaned 20 years ago.
Right.
So they had 20 years of data gathering on us as Republicans.
Yeah, but we have them on mailers. We're really good on mailers. I mean, we're incredible mailers.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to say, yeah. Father Hugh is on hold, so I want him to say, hang on, Hugh. We'll get to you in a second. I appreciate when people call in and want to let them know. Well, Ben, so my thing is I think that it could be if the Republican Party, the establishment Republican Party, would just get out of the voters' way, I think it could be much tighter here.
If
they put the same kind of system in place of the
Democrats.
They're
not going to.
I mean, Chuck, you're being so negative.
It's not negative. It's real. They want to control a dead Republican Party.
Yes.
They don't care if it's dead as long as they control it.
And That's right.
This is moribund right now, the Republican Party in Colorado, despite the efforts of a lot of people, including the chair for Adams County.
I'll say this, that you're both right. Chuck is right about them wanting to control. They don't care if there's only 5 members. They're happy with being in control of the 5 members. And you're right, Julie, because if we did have a similar system in place, we could make a formidable challenge against their rule in this state. But the thing is that we need deep pockets to do something like that, where they did. There are 4 people that were involved in that blueprint, and they were willing to open their checkbooks and make an attempt to take it over, and they were successful. And now they're taking it to other states, into Texas, into Iowa, other states. This blueprint is spreading. And until we have people willing to understand what we have to do at this end of it, and that is get our own people motivated, we have to go out, we have to play by their rules. And their rules is ballot harvesting. Now, I hate that, but that's true. And so as long as that's on the book, we have to do it. Also, I think that we need to get rid of the state primary. I am not for a primary. We had it back at the turn of the century, this last century here. And so I don't think I'm for that at all. I think I'm just really ready to stay out of that, that Super Tuesday stuff.
Well, let me ask you, so how would you change it then if we got rid of the primary?
What did we do before?
Yeah.
Well, what we did before was that we did not go into the Super Tuesday ballot. We waited until the general election. And the people then had a voice.
Okay.
Well, there's still primaries. I mean, you still chose whoever your presidential favorite was in Colorado.
Right, but they were closed primaries.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I see what you're saying, yeah.
You're against open primaries, I agree. You can't get rid of primaries, or, well, maybe you can, but...
Yeah. And so for folks who may not be aware, Ben, why don't you explain what the open primary is and why, because we agree with you, why this is a bad idea for Republicans in Colorado and any other state.
Yeah, the open primaries is a... situation where if you're a registered independent, you'll receive essentially 2 ballots. You'll receive a Republican ballot and you'll receive a Democratic ballot. And then you will select one or the other to vote in the various candidate offices that are open. And that's how it's done.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. The whole point is to kill the grassroots.
That's
anybody
right.
Anybody but the moneyed guys. And the moneyed guys will be officially in charge of a moribund, dead Republican Party, similar to the one in California, where the only persons who run in California are self-funders.
That's right.
They're self-funded millionaires who don't really win anyway because they can't win. I mean, they've rigged that system enough.
Yeah, the major thing here is that you had a billionaire that ran for office and won, and that's Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump did something unique. He had a message.
Yeah,
there you go. One that resonated with, call them crazy, but the voters, right? I mean,
the one thing about Blueprint Colorado and everything else, those are the rich guys, right?
Yeah.
And now Bernie's going to come in and steal it from them, which is going to be fun.
And you know what? Here's what I'm going to say, too. I'm sorry, Bernie supporters, but if you think that's going to happen, I've got some swampland in Florida, right? That Bernie is going to actually impose some kind of tax on rich people and give all the money to middle class people. He's not. They'll move all their money, I don't know, offshore or something. It's just call me crazy, but I just don't really believe that the rich are going to start paying their fair share and the rest of us are going to get cuts. That's just not the way the world works, I wish.
The Democrats believed in it. In a big tent, the big tent solution. And so, unfortunately, one of the big tent items that walked into their tent was the Democratic Socialist or the Communist Party. And so they're eating them alive over there.
They are.
So until they stand up and they kick them out of their own party and take their own party back, I know. That's the situation. Yeah, George Soros is backing every play. Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking with Ben Nicholas, who's a fighting grassroots activist here in Adams County.
On the Central Committee, Republican Central Committee, so he has
a little bit of influence.
In Colorado. And so, you know, what would be, if you could make some changes, because I know you fought for them, or undo some of the things that have happened. What I know, Chuck, I'm being optimistic. What would some of them be?
If I had a magic wand and I could make some changes to our state party, I would begin with the chairman and change that out. I mean, Susan Beckman was robbed, and that's my own personal opinion.
Everybody's personal opinion. Anybody who watched the process, anybody who's not an establishment
person,
even Ken Buck realized that he was stolen. He didn't steal it personally. He had, you know, the underlings steal it, but they did all these incredibly crooked things with proxies and with the Clippers, and it was one more rigged vote. Among Republicans, I mean.
Well, you got to remember that he won by 12 votes.
Yeah.
But there were 80 proxies, and of those 80 proxies, 76 of them went missing. They just vanished.
Their dogs ate them. Yeah.
And so there was a committee formed to study why, what happened to that. And so the study came back, or that committee came back and reported that they could find no evidence of any wrongdoing. That's because the evidence was missing.
Yeah.
Because they destroyed everything.
Because they were the ones. That's kind of like having Robert Mueller investigate, you know, the Russia hoax. It's like, no wrongdoing here.
Yeah, but even if she'd won, you know, they would have withdrawn all the money, as they always do, and the Republican Party would have been moribund anyway.
There wasn't any money anyway.
Well, I know. Whatever little they get, they just give to themselves because it's their salary.
Or their consultants.
There's not even enough money for consultants. The only consultants left are Cory Gardner's, and they'll soon be.
You got to remember that in that state party executive committee type group, there are the bureaucrats that we have that are employed by that group, and then they say they're going to remove them, and they just shift them to a new title position, and that's it. And they continue on the same old, same old. You know,
they're afraid that the insurgents would win, so then they went to Washington, got Ken Buck. Ken Buck says, "No, don't worry about it. I can handle both jobs, but I don't have to because I'll have Steve House run the party, who was the chairman before, and I'll just be the titular head." And then after a few weeks or a month, he said, "Nah." Steve House said, "I think I'll run for CD6." So you have the same woman who's been in charge of the kind of the paperwork for since they became the state and helped rig the election, and you had the same old thing, and everybody's kind of happy. I mean, the Republicans.
Well, except the voters, except the grassroots voters.
Well, the voters have given
up. But, you know, they're so pesky, those voters. The Democrats are trying to get rid of voters now. They should come to Colorado and study how the establishment Republicans got rid of voters. Right?
And now they've got their last great hope, which is Cory Gardner, who is, as far as I can tell, is doing nothing. There are all kinds of ads against Cory Gardner, but he hasn't spent a penny yet. He doesn't seem to, as people, going, it's the most amazing Twitter column ever. You wouldn't think there was impeachment going on. You'd think that the whole thing was National Fruit Pickers Day or something. I mean,
I would love to, you know, I mean, Cory Gardner's a Republican, I understand. But I'm telling you that I would love to see that guy primaried. And I'd love to see somebody that is a true conservative primary that guy. Let's see if he can really carry it through
conservative. He'd win a primary easily because he'd have the money and the other person wouldn't.
But if the other person had the message, then you might have the same situation with Trump.
No, the message, unless you have something to broadcast a message. You don't got a message.
They can have it on podcast.
Yeah,
Ben, you're hitting a point though. You look at what Bernie Sanders is doing with the individual donors. I mean, it makes a difference because I think, and here's why I'm optimistic, Chuck.
Okay.
I think that voters are onto this now, right? And voters are sick of it, in Colorado in particular. And if folks are listening who are not from Colorado, the only thing, this is a warning, because what happened here not only could happen in your state, it is happening in your state. You just don't know it yet. And the bottom line is they're trying to take all of the power away from individual grassroots people and just give it to the hands of the establishment people. Why do people think if you're a Democrat in another state, why is the DNC changing the rules all of a sudden about who can debate? You know, because they don't like Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, to me, tell me what you think, Ben, is the flip side of the same coin as Donald Trump, I think. It's a grassroots revolution.
I think that's right, except I don't think Bernie has the same number or in his base as Trump did. Trump's message, the very, you know, I kind of gave this test out to people that I knew, and I said, give me, 10 words or less why Trump won. And, you know, it's a kind of a trick question because it really is just 10. There's 10 words that it describes it, and that is that make America great again, which is 4 words, and then lock her up, which is 3. And build then the final one, build the wall.
Yeah.
No, that's absolutely right. I mean,
so those three things touch on three different values that we as Republicans believe in: law and order, protection, and jobs back here in the United States. So those are the three basic principles. You know, our party has always been about principles. It's never been about pigment of somebody's skin color. And that's the fact. And the other side, it's the exact opposite. It's no principles because they don't have any. And it's all about identification of party, you know, or your person, who you, the skin color you are, the pigment that you carry.
Well, I think you're being too nice to the Republican Party. I don't think it's been a party of principles. I don't think that.
Well, theoretically.
The Mitt Romneys or the John McCains or the Bob Doles. You can just go down the list.
It has been
a rich man's party, and certainly in Colorado it's been a rich man's party.
But that's changing from
it is. Time. Trump totally changed it.
That's right.
The greatest thing ever. It's now.
That's right.
I mean, he's changed the Republican Party from free trade, which is really mean globalist,
rent
the country for their own money, to fair trade, to
That's
immigration
right.
system that isn't overrunning the country with Democrats. And he also said, I'm going to make the country work, and I'm going to get oil and gas, be independent. I mean, I think Trump sort of stumbled on a lot of the things. He'd go to a rally, and all of a sudden he'd build a wall, and everybody'd be cheering wildly, and he'd go, whoa, wait a minute. And then
he
became, and he slowly came.
And look what he did. Look how he trolled him with Michael Bloomberg, right?
Trump tweets
out that Bloomberg has to have a box to stand on,
right.
And the next thing you know, CNN is fact-checking it. And poor Michael Bloomberg was like,
now he can't stand on a box.
He's like,
you know,
Biden
next
has
debate,
to stand on a box.
The next debate, everybody's going to be checking if he's standing on a box because he's going to be the same height as Amy Klobuchar.
You remember that that one shot? It was several years back. It was Henry Waxman, from congressman from California, who went into a meeting and then abruptly called a 5-minute recess for a second. And that was because they had to go get him a cushion to sit on so to raise his height. My mind captures things like that, but it does.
Looks like
you guys are ready to go.
That's right. Yes, we got people on the line. So thank you, Ben.
Yeah, you've been great as always. I mean, you are, one of the real principled people in the Republican Party. One of the people that I'm proud to be a Republican in Colorado because people like you.
Well, I'm proud to have both of you as my personal friend.
Yes.
And I know that, you know, even though the hardships that you guys just went through, I support you 100%.
All right, Ben, thank you. That means
Thanks,
a lot.
Ben.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you there, Ben, Nicholas, and his main message for everybody, go to the caucus.
Yep,
okay, go to your
that.
Caucus.
Go to caucus.
Go to caucus.
All right, thanks, Ben. All right, hey, to call in, 888-627-6008. If we want to, let's go ahead and we can start bringing in the phone calls now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Father Hugh, patiently waiting. Hey, Hugh, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
And in fact, I'm going to throw you both a bouquet.
All right.
Oh, we like those calls.
As Bill O'Reilly likes to say, and as you will confirm, I'm a simple man. It's simple. I listen to you and Ben Nicholas. That's nice. And you're in the granular stuff and whatever. And all I think of is, look, we need a candidate with charisma.
Yeah.
And that's how Trump got elected, along with his own money. And my proposal is Chuck and Julie for candidate.
For one candidate. We'll just take one
just
office.
You sound stunned.
Okay.
I'm not joking. I mean, basically, we need people who can talk and who have energy. And we don't.
Well, and who care? You know, I mean, that's the one thing I think that you get with some of the candidates. You see that, like, with Patrick Neville here in Colorado. He's a state minority leader. You see that with
Lauren Nutt, who's challenging Scott Tipton. I mean, I think
Lauren Boebert.
Right. And I think, you know, I don't, you know, the odds on upsetting an incumbent congressman are pretty small, but you got Tom Tancredo's endorsement. So you have people like that, and you'd have a new Republican Party, I think.
No, I think, and what you're getting at, Hugh, and I agree with this. I don't know about me and Chuck, but or Chuck and I, but what you need, though, are people who actually have beliefs and who are passionate about those beliefs.
As always, I'll be specific. But part of the reason for my calling in, I caught the tail end of Jay Sekulow's summation. And it says it all. Jay says, we believe that we have proven that thus and so. And I think, no, Jay, you don't say we believe. You say, we've proven.
Yeah. Right.
That's what you say.
Right.
And that's the sort of thing that the Bonnewell Hayden candidacy would do. They don't pussyfoot around. And that's my point. I mean, I just, even Cipollone, I mean, what is it that we always end up with milquetoasts?
Right.
It doesn't work. And you know, you think I'm joking about proposing you and the two of you. I'm not.
Well, I've got so much great, good publicity of late. I can't understand why they're not breaking down the doors demanding I run for something, a sheriff or something.
All the more to your credit.
Well, you know, and again, I think you hit on it, though, Q, is, you know, you have the Democrats, and I disagree with this, but their Congress people are holding news conferences screaming, you know, the F word Trump.
Oh,
and right? And you're right, and Jay Sekulow was saying, we believe we've proven this. It's like, no, it's like, you guys are crooks. Mm-hmm. You know, you're corrupt. Yeah. It's a hoax.
The best of all of them was Alan Dershowitz. He really was very effective because he's had to give effectively.
Well, you know, I have a few favorites, but had that been Chuck will know this tactic. When you're a deal lawyer, you'll always run into somebody who at the last minute will want to raise something, maybe again. And what you say, it's very simple. You say, I'm sorry, you waived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
all.
That's all they should have said to Nancy and Chuck. I'm sorry, you waved, and give me a few of the pens for grandkids.
Right.
All right. Hey.
Well, I thought the president's lawyers did a great job. You know, considering what they really are big, firm, bright guys, and you were part of you were a big, firm, bright guy.
He's a lawyer.
And Cipollone and his deputy is even smarter than Cipollone. But they just remind you, and you know better than anybody, of the guys that just fill up the halls of the big firms in New York and Washington, which is not what you need, per se, but they did the best they could.
You also know that, and I was a deal and tax and deal lawyer, but I also know there were the litigators at Sherman and Sterling all came from NYU Law School or St. John's.
Right.
The guys were rough and tumble guys and could put across the case.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not joking. Either that or George Athanasopoulos, but I'm still putting my money.
And we're trying to, thank you. We'll let you know and we'll give you a campaign sign.
Yes. We'll hit you up for a donation.
Thank you for calling. Hey, let's go now. We've got Charlene.
Charlene.
Hey, Charlene. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Oh, hi there. Oh, I just want to compliment the Ben guy you had on. He was a real straight shooter because I have been wanting to know what happened to those proxies. And now they're saying there's no evidence of wrongdoing because the proxies disappeared. So they can't really.
Yeah, they destroyed them all. They destroyed
and
them.
And then, you know.
Call me crazy, Charlene, but
wouldn't
that,
down the road.
Wouldn't that in and of itself be evidence of wrongdoing, right? It's
they destroyed
like
all the evidence, huh? But it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
exactly.
And so, you know, and what he also said, they don't care if they go to the Republican National Committee with a 10 member in their Republican Party.
Right.
They don't care if the Republican Party is dead. They want to have control over the dead Republican Party.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just, there's just there's not excitement there. And, you know, Ken Credo was talking on Boyle's this morning.
Yeah, I heard him. I heard him this morning.
The movement is outlasting the party. I mean, the movement is more important than the party. Like Bernie's movement is more important than the Democrat Party and Trump's movement. So we're going to have to draw a circle around them, you know.
Well, who replaces, Charlene, in your mind, Tom Tancredo? I mean, who in among Republicans
in Colorado?
In Colorado. Replaces Tom. I can't think of anybody.
How about Chuck Monowell and Randy Corcoran?
There you go. I was going to say, you've got Randy Corcoran, you got Patrick Neville, you got Dave Williams.
Well, we do have Patrick Neville.
Patrick Neville, Dave Williams, Chris Hulbert. Yes. And you know, I went, speaking of them, I went to the Capitol Club luncheon, and they had a panel, Don Yetteberg, you know, was kind of the head of that. And he was a very nice man and very, you know, effective in conducting the meeting and everything. So they had a great panel, and there were questions from the audience, and me and my friend submitted a few. And the essence of what Yetteberg told us was that there's no voter fraud in Colorado, because,
not.
You know, Judicial Watch did a study, and Michigan was number one in voter fraud, and Colorado was number two, according to their study, and he had not heard of that.
Why would the guy running the Republican Party these days?
Here's what they do.
Is clueless. I mean this. I don't care if it's George Brockley. They have no idea where they lost.
But
yeah,
here's
they assuaged everyone's, you know, worry about that, and then he said that we were excellent. He didn't care what anybody said. He said that we were excellent in getting the vote out.
Yeah.
And then, the other question was asked, when is Trump coming to Colorado? And does he not like it? Because he went to New Jersey.
Wildwood, New Jersey.
Like New Jersey.
Yeah. Well, you know, what did
Edinburg say?
Oh, he said, well, he's not coming right now because it's not in Trump's best interest.
Why is that?
The reason he went to New Jersey was because that he was supporting that Democrat that switched over. You know, he said Trump doesn't.
He
just almost had me convinced. You know, I'm like,
here's the thing, Charlene. This, I think, is extremely telling. Britta Horn, who
I love Britta.
Yeah, she's pretty active in the Republican Party, particularly on the Western Slope, right? Was reading, got hired to go work in the Trump campaign in New Mexico. Wait a minute. Why? She's here, right? It's like, why not hire her? Why not hire her to come work here?
Edinburgh is really a gentleman, and he's a nice guy. He really is.
But he generally represents
everything that's wrong with the Republican Party in Colorado. Everything that's wrong. Clueless, doesn't know why they lost, has no idea how they're going to possibly win in 2020, and he'll help make sure that we don't win in 2020 because he's clueless. You know, and that doesn't affect his nice guy.
And I was just thinking that Trump surely wants to help the down races in Colorado, and he would come here just for that, you know, just to sign up more people to vote.
Yeah,
so that would be the benefit to have him here.
Right.
And so, but anyway, you know, it's like everybody's happy and we're just walking out and like, oh, it's going to work out.
We were so happy.
Did they give you the governor's race?
Well, you know, I mean, people would call us up and say, you got to get on board with Walker. He's doing great. And eventually I just, you know, we said, fine, we're not against Walker, but he's going to get crushed. He's running a non-campaign.
Right.
And now Cory Gardner, who is not running a campaign that I can discern, is going to get crushed.
He's got a lot of money. He's outraged.
No, he doesn't have that much money.
He's outraged.
And Trump coming here would really help Gardner in my opinion. But
well, Gardner doesn't think so.
I would say Patrick Neville did a great job. They're working smart at the Capitol, you know, by reading the bills.
He's tremendous.
All right. Hey, Charlene, thank you.
Charlene, thank you. And I want to thank you. Everybody tells us that our biggest kind of
PR person is you.
So we just want to personally thank you
for everything. Thank you. All right. Charlene hung up. Hey, and then Ben Nicholas just texted. I have to put my glasses on, guys, if you see me going like this, because there's a little chat over here.
I'm happy to just be blind here.
That's right. It says, don't let Chuck talk anymore. No, it doesn't say that. It says, Ben says, the site, and this is one that grassroots Republicans should check out. It's mycoloradogop.org. That's mycoloradogop.org. Okay, open phone lines, 888-627-6008. Do you want to move to the what do you want to talk about? Jay-Z, Rush Limbaugh, caucus, impeachment.
Caucus in Iowa. I mean, this is going to be a critical caucus, and see if they can steal it from Bernie and his guys with the secondary vote. Where they do it is you go to a schoolhouse or whatever, and anybody, if you voted for somebody who didn't get 15%, you get to the second round.
But they make them go stand in parts of the room, right?
Yes,
like it's, yes, so it's like, yes, you go, well, that seems kind of weird. Cause like, what if you're like, okay, well, I'm a so-and-so supporter and there's like no one in that corner. Cause everyone's waiting to see what.
Oh, there's all kinds of, you know, when I went up.
Or the one who's in the closet, right?
When I went up there, I mean, there were lots of people from out of state who got it to be part of the caucus. I don't know how they got in, but you know,
there's no voter fraud.
In Colorado. That's just so sad.
And I'm going to explain if we talk about this, why that's such a crock.
You know, depending what you consider voter fraud, if you consider that you're getting ballots from Alzheimer's patients and all that, is that voter fraud? I think it's voter fraud.
Well,
John doesn't think it, so, you know, lose again.
We'll talk about this for a second, because this kind of gets my goat a little bit to hear people say no voter fraud. What I think the state does well, and all states do well, is no one is actually hacking into the system. What happens is, it's a mail ballot system, the ballot comes in, it's counted, but it's not tabulated till the end, 7 o'clock on election day, right? I don't think there's any evidence that anyone is hacking into those systems. I think those systems are secure. The voter fraud comes way before that. If you're a Democrat, you think they're going to wait to the last position to try to do the voter fraud is here in Colorado now. If you register to get a driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. Now, there's nothing to check, are you a citizen? Nope. Nothing to check, are you registered in another state? Nothing to check who you even say you are, right? You're automatically registered. And my big concern is with this new law that went into effect, two concerns. One, we know the Democrats are already doing their best to harvest those people, and the Republicans are like, what, we have new voters? And no one is, there is no one checking, right? There isn't any process to check. So they say there's no voter fraud. It's kind of like saying, you know, if you don't investigate burglaries, you're like, we don't have any burglaries.
Yeah, no burglaries.
You can't report it. There's nobody checking. It's like, we have no burglaries. It's the same kind of thing. You have all kinds of people mailing in ballots, harvesting ballots, like you said, going to places and helping people fill the ballot out.
No, they do ballot harvesting in North Carolina, and there was all kinds of
Republican fraud.
And they did in Orange County, California, and there was a lot of fraud there, but not Colorado. We're perfect. Republican Party is cheering the Democrats on. We've got this great system that assures Democrats will win every statewide office, and it's good. It's good for us.
And again,
in some ways, you just kind of go, I don't want to be criticizing Don Edinburgh's and everything else. And after a while, you just kind of go, look, if you can't actually take which Edinburgh is basically running the Republican Party, if he doesn't get it, then there's no hope for anybody to get it.
Well,
and so we just let them do what they do. And that's really George Anthopoulos's view. He's kind of like,
amen. We're going to try it. We're going to have him on, I think, Wednesday or Friday, too, because he.
But here's the good part. I think Donald Trump, you know, closer and closer to.
Look, you're being optimistic.
Yeah, I am. Nationally, I'm very optimistic.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, there's a thing about it. There's an article in Real Clear Politics. The Democrats have already given up on Iowa. They said, we're not going
to. Oh, and they're trying to pretend, just like the impeachment, he's still impeached. It didn't count. He wasn't really acquitted. Now they're saying Iowa doesn't count, depending on who you are. Iowa doesn't count. No. Super Tuesday, so 2018 or 2016.
But they said, basically, the Democratic Party, just like they've, you know, they hire Britta Horn to go to New Mexico.
I know.
They'll hire.
come back and just, you know,
she's
I don't
great. I really like
she
her.
Is good, but it, I mean, it says a lot. But back to, though, the Iowa caucus. And I think one of the reasons we wanted to do the show and continue to do the show is to try to do our best to just, you know, what did Bill O'Reilly used to say, the no spin zone, okay? We don't want to steal that, but like truth straight up. Just to say, here's what is actually happening. Here's what they're saying, and here's what's actually happening. Hence the thing with voter fraud, right? When they tell you there's no voter fraud, they're lying to you. The bottom line in Colorado, and if you are listening to us and you're not in Colorado, and they're trying to put in all mail ballots, do everything you can to stop it, because that so plays to the Democrat Party's strengths, their armies, right? Republicans get screwed there, and they throw out the thing about, oh, well, every vote should count, and the more people who vote, the better. Well, yeah, that's what we had an Arapahoe County clerk in Corder who actually said, vote early and vote often. She actually said that. And then they had to say, no, that's not our actual thing. We say that in our meetings, but we didn't say that public. I mean, she put that on literature. That's the thing. It's not a joke. Do you know what I mean? And so what's going on in Iowa, and you're watching how they're manipulating it. And I don't know. I mean, maybe I've gone down the rabbit hole, but I don't for one second believe that they threw out this entire poll that they've done forever in Iowa,
right,
that everyone's waiting for because one guy
didn't
one time
Buttigieg,
said
yeah.
Pete Buttigieg's name wrong. Give me a break.
Well, it's a little more extensive than that, but it's still, you know, if it showed Buttigieg ahead or Warren ahead, oh, yeah, we can fix that. I mean, oh, it's showing Bernie ahead. We don't like that.
No. Well, and here's the thing. Why do they not want Bernie ahead? They don't want Bernie ahead because, once again, you have the pesky voters. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, the establishment people do not want, what did you say with the Mark Twain, right? If voting were important, they wouldn't let us do it. Well, that's
voting mattered.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. And so in Colorado, what they do, the establishment, and they're trying to do that at the DNC, they did it with Hillary. It
sure
didn't work. So maybe they can't control who you vote for on election day, but they can control what your choices are. And that's what they do in Colorado, right? They force anybody out that the people want. And then everyone says, and then they try to say, oh, well, you have to vote for, say, Cory Gardner, because if you don't, then John Hickenlooper will get elected.
And it's true.
I mean, it's true.
You know,
but
I mean, I'll probably vote for Cory Gardner, but it won't make any difference. I mean, great. I mean, just like all establishment candidates. And if Cory Gardner were the biggest supporter of Donald Trump, it wouldn't make any difference. Simply because they've identified independents, and independents are not necessarily independent. They just pre-registered when you went in for your driver's license. They automatically put you as independent unless you change it. So,
right.
But they find out who everybody is. And then I've been in elections with basically mail ballots. I can tell you two kinds of people, Republicans, and then every rule they care about. I mean, they go like, what do you mean? Did we include the middle initial of that? You know, is that good with the middle initial left out? And they're Democrats who think any kind of rule is voter suppression. Any kind of rule. 10, we can only pick up 10. Yeah, right.
Right,
sure.
Right. Oh,
sure.
What does that mean? 10. What does 10 mean? 10.
Yeah, 10 is a digit. You know, I think, and you know, you can do a multiple of those.
Hey, we got 888-627-6008 is the number to call. What do you think is going to happen in Iowa tomorrow? We'll break it down for you.
Tomorrow, tonight.
Tonight, rather. We'll break it down for you tomorrow. Here's one of the
Wednesday.
Things. Wednesday. Oh, okay. Let me start that again. We'll break it down for you. It's tonight. We'll break it down for you on Wednesday on our
there
show.
You
thank
you.
I think that Iowa is more bad news for the Democrats. I think impeachment, bad news for the Democrats. We're going to have Michael Tao on Wednesday. He's going to explain to everybody, you know, don't be fooled. Nancy Pelosi, there's a bigger strategy there, I believe, than just trying to throw dirt at the president. That's
right,
just
right.
Part of it. There's a lot of cover-up on the part of Democrats going up to Obama, I believe, on that whole thing. We'll explain that on Wednesday. But I also think, though, if you're the Democrat Party, you've got, once again, those pesky voters seemingly saying they want Bernie Sanders. Now, they do not want, I mean, if you're Trump, I think you want to run against a socialist, right? I think they're already running ads. Oh, we're not socialists.
I don't know if he'd be the easiest to beat, but you'd get the starkest comparison. I mean, you wouldn't get a kind of a, you know, a Biden kind of, well, you know, I'm for an open border, but not an open border. I'm for 9/10 open border. And, you know, it can fool you. There you get, you know, Bernie has stayed the same. He's been a, you know, socialist / communist, went to the USSR for his honeymoon. I mean, he is who he is, unlike, I say,
well, he's not
Warren.
Hiding it, really.
No, he's not hiding it, and that's why people like him. I mean, that's why they're
his
so
supporters.
Devoted to him. Yeah, they're so devoted to him. So, and in some ways, there'd be some overlap, because last election, I think 14% of Bernie voters voted for Trump. So it'd be an interesting contrast between two radically different views of where America wants to go. So I think that would be a great election. I mean, there wouldn't be any hiding things under the table, which is true of most elections.
But you're watching here now is the Democrats not letting that happen, right? I think that's hence what's going on in Iowa. They're already starting to spin it saying, oh, well, number one, we're not going to release any polls. Right now, you know, they're doing the same thing they did with the Colorado Republican proxies. They're like, oh, we lost the evidence. We get trial, you know, bingo, Joe Biden wins. Hooray, everybody, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the New York Times, the sleazy New York Times saying, oh, yeah, we endorse both Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren, which is not an endorsement. The whole thing is ridiculous. Hey, we got another phone call, though. I can see it barely. Barney, let's go to Barney, our good friend Barney. Hey, hey Barney.
Chuck and Dewey.
Hey.
How's it going, guys?
We're good. We're good. How about you?
We're loving this.
Oh, real good. Just up here on crap roads in Wyoming.
Oh. Wintertime again.
Hi. You, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs in a minute, but the Democrat Party, they're crapping their pants.
Yes.
They are crapping their, you know what? And I said I didn't think Bernie was going to do South Carolina. I think he's going to do all
that. Yeah, the last poll had him within 5 points. I mean, Biden did have a 31-point lead, and now he's got a 5-point lead, so.
Ooh.
And now we're gonna go ahead and let Bloomberg in the debate with $1 billion, and then
right. It'll cut out everybody else. In fact, it'll be only Bloomberg, and nobody else will be able to do it.
But I'm just saying, it's just funny how you know they don't like any of the. I'm glad that Yang made this space station for that, but it's just funny. I mean, and guess what? Like our party's been destroyed, and thanks to the establishment in Colorado, the Democrats if they screw Bernie this time around, that party's going to have, I mean, you're going to have AOC. You're going to have a huge split. I think it's awesome. But
let me say one thing, which is a little bit cynical, but let's say there is no voter fraud in Colorado. And similar, there's no voter fraud there's no suppression in Georgia. But the Democrats go suppression, suppression, suppression to get everybody hyped up. So in Colorado, there is because of ballot harvesting. Maybe there wasn't. You kind of, they're not playing fair. Yeah, no, we say they're great. We're wonderful. We lost fair and square because we suck. Yeah, get out there and fight, guys. Get out there because we suck.
And don't forget to send in your money.
Yeah, send some money. It doesn't matter. Just, you know, Uncle Phil will do the bill.
Their little takeover, I mean, it's a real deal. Some of the stuff my daughter does, I'm blown away the way they tag these. It's amazing. The ground, I mean, you would be blown away how they do it. I mean, I know you know, but a lot of people.
Yeah, we know because.
Well, what do you mean? Give us an example a little bit, Barney. What can you tell us?
For example, they've got an address and they know who's in that house. They know how they
vote. Oh, yes. They know everybody who's here and has a mail address here. And because Julie's daughter travels around the world, she has a mail address here, and they're here all the time. We never see Republicans independents.
I get letters from Trump.
We get letters from Trump. There you go.
Well, anyway, I'm so glad that Chiefs won. I love that kid, that Patrick.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Andy Reid, I love them both. I just love them. I mean, I was so glad. So glad. It's funny how you watch a football game, and you do see those little things like the football gods are on these guys' side. I don't know. It's just I was amazed. I thought it was awesome. 3 touchdowns. I mean, that's just – the kid's just awesome. But,
oh, yeah. Right. Patrick Mahomes is great. Seems like a nice kid, too. 24. Can you imagine 24? Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Yeah, I think he is 24.
I think so.
Great.
Yeah, great quarterback.
What did you think about – I know you probably have some thoughts on Jay-Z and Beyonce not standing up for the national anthem.
My daughter, because when Rev was born, my daughter had a grandson, and his name was Sean. And now Sean – knows
where
the stripper pole is. So
there you go.
Fortunately, Rev was playing violent.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Julie.
I was going to say Rev was playing violent video games, so he missed. Yeah, thank God he missed the stripper pole.
Well, my grandson's got one up on him. He knows where the stripper pole is. and Chuck is right.
Whoop! We might have lost you. Hey, well, listen, we got to go anyway. Yeah. This hour goes fast. We're going to be back again on Wednesday and Friday. We're going to be doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 3 to 4. Once again, you know, you can check us out. This is going to be posted afterwards if you missed something, but on YouTube, it'll be posted on Facebook, bbsradio.com, our new website, chuckandjulie.com. Well, how come everything is Chuck and Julie? We need to have some Julie and Chuck websites. Hey, thank you to the guys at BBS Radio. They were great as always. Thank you to Ben Nicholas.
Yeah, Ben. Fighting Ben.
All right.
And everybody else.
And we'll see you on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.